1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. There is something in all of us that loves to hear a story where someone overcomes a great difficulty, an impossibility happens. And of course, in the world, there's a great admiration for superheroes, and of course, they don't exist. But from comic books to movies to all that stuff, you have the superheroes. But in the real world, we certainly do admire people that overcome great difficulties. Well, as a believer, every one of us can be an overcomer. In fact, that's one of the great privileges that we have. We call our RU Sunday morning group the Overcomers, which is a very good title, because it is very biblical. And everyone here can be a greater overcomer, or I don't like to use the word superhero because that denotes the wrong thing, but every one of us has the opportunity to do great and mighty things because we are indwelt by the God of the universe who is ready to do that through us if we will yield to him. And this is something that we often forget. What we really believe, what dominates our thinking, changes our conduct, and of course in the supernatural, spiritual realm, it changes everything. So look with me at verse 5. We touched on this in our last message on 1 John as we looked at overcoming the world, but we read in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Now, every one of us can have great overcoming victory in our life, but it gets down to faith versus self-trust. We don't think about that a lot, and that's our problem. Now, everyone here, when it comes to doctrine, you know that core doctrine is that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He's God Almighty. He became man, still God. He is the God-man. And he today is at the right hand of the Father as a glorified man and fully in his glory as God. That's bedrock truth. Our salvation stands upon that. Everything that the Word of God teaches all revolves around that. That is the thread that ties the Word of God together. And so we can be very strong in our defense of the deity and work of Jesus Christ and believe that very firmly in our heart and mind, but not be an overcomer. Well, how does that happen? Well, as you well know, the word believe, what is the essence of that word in the Greek? Dependence. Put your trust in. Think about how many times you bring that up when you're witnessing to someone and you're explaining that you first need to understand the gospel that Jesus died for us. Then you need to agree that that is true and that needs to be applied to your life. But then we emphasize the third angle of that. That is the matter that you need to not only understand and agree, but you must put your faith in Christ. You must trust in him as your Savior. Well, that is the key here also. If we're going to overcome all the different aspects of pressures that are on us and the limitations that we face, we have to truly believe. Trust that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, let me just tell you, if you live with that reality, you're a different person. You can have head knowledge and it not affect you. But if you are spending time with the Lord and your heart is right with God and the Holy Spirit is witnessing to you of the reality of Jesus Christ, that relationship with him and that understanding of him changes how you approach your own personal needs, how you approach your relationships, and even going through a day, Jesus is alive. He is who he said he is. He is my Savior. He's interceding for me. I have the power through him to live a life that is a life of victory. The world has died to me because I am dead to the world. These things are very real if we really, truly trust Jesus is the Son of God. He is God Almighty. And so in this passage here, the Apostle John, under inspiration, is encouraging us that this is a fact that is at the core of everything. The next verse, verse 6, says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is a spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth." My friends, the word of God has gone to great detail through the inspiration of the Spirit to affirm in our understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. He is God. He is the Son of God that came incarnate. He is all that we said. He will be reigning and will receive the deed for the universe, as we read in Revelation. And he is the one who is our Savior. That needs to be transforming in our life. And there is a very clear witness that this is so. This is he that came. Jesus Christ came. He came according to the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament. He always was. He is the eternal God. He created the heavens and the earth, Colossians chapter 1. But he came as a man over 2,000 years ago. There was a point in time in which he was conceived by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and then born, and then lived. He actually came. Now, folks, this is not some nice idea. It is as historic a fact as anything there is in history. God came to earth. And so that he came. In fact, the Jews there at the time of Christ understood that the Messiah was supposed to come, Matthew 11:3, and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" John 6:14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." John 11:27, "She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world." And that's what the Jews could not fully understand. And when Jesus said, before Abraham was, "I am," the terminology of Jehovah God, when he claimed his eternality, that he was with the Father, and that he came at the appointed time to be the Messiah, the Son of God, this was the dividing line of truth that the Jewish leaders had to face. And he did come. It's a past historical reality. But there are two very key times in Christ's life that often authenticated who he was. First, by water, speaking of his baptism. What happened at his baptism? You had the public announcement of who he was by God himself. Matthew 3:13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water." And by the way, note, he went into water and out of water. That's the whole meaning of baptize. "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there we have the declaration from the Father in heaven and the presence of the Spirit of God, the triune God, present at the baptism of Jesus Christ, declaring what? He has come as the Son of God, and I am well pleased. Now, that's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? And very, very clear. So a very strong witness. Then the blood. And of course, there's no more precious time to us than when he hung on that cross. The blood actually began to be spilled in the night before in Caiaphas' dungeon. And he was beaten there. I've seen the very place where he was beaten. And then he came before Pilate and again beaten. By the time he had that cross thrust upon him and he headed toward Golgotha, his body was absolutely ripped to shreds. Then, of course, he was nailed to that cross and the blood began to flow more. And as he died for our sins, and the blood was the atonement for our sins, and the great obvious judgment on Christ was being accomplished, you have the final words of Christ after he declared, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus had the witness of the fact that the battle was won, and that God would receive him, God the Father. He went from, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, back to my Father. And so we have the authentication of Christ in the by the water, and then by the tremendous sacrifice of the blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, folks, we have to understand that even though we understand words, it is the Spirit of God that convinces us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is the Spirit of God that takes the words and make them come alive to us in the proper meaning of the words. But spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 so clearly states. And so a person has to have the illumination of the Spirit and the conviction of the Spirit to be saved. We give the words, the gospel, and we need the power of God to do it. But those truths have to come alive, and the realization that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, and he is my substitute. Do you realize what a miracle it is that you understood that? Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? You couldn't come to that conclusion on your own. Our spirit doesn't want to believe it. You see, we don't want to believe we need a Savior, or we have a hard time conceiving of all of that. But the minute the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, which he authored himself, and illumines our minds and hearts, all of a sudden it's as clear as a bell. And so the Spirit of the living God beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And this is an uninterrupted present tense testimony that he is giving. As he gave the Word of God, which testifies of what God said at his baptism, what happened at the cross, the glory of the resurrection, the glory of the ascension, all of these truths. And the Holy Spirit is continuing to bear witness. What is the book of Acts? It is the continuing witness of the Spirit that Jesus was who he said he was, and he is now doing what he said he would do, and the miracle of the church beginning and the tremendous multiplication of believers through the power of the Holy Spirit is evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we need to not take lightly the reality of who Jesus is. If we can just think about it and it doesn't move us much, then we're clearly not living in dependence upon him. But if we are having victory in our personal life, and we're having wonderful times of fellowship, and God is using us to reach people, and we're seeing the anointing of God's power upon ministry that we're involved in, and God is taking truth and just making it come alive, and we're understanding more and more, then this reality of who Jesus is becomes more and more precious. Who is Jesus to you tonight? Well, he's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. We could take some time and verbalize all across this auditorium great truths and descriptions of Jesus Christ. But who is he to you as a person? Have you talked to him today? Have you spent time truly thanking him for what he did? Has your heart thrilled at the possibilities of what he wants to do in and through you? Have you had a touch of his heart and his compassion for others? Have you heard his voice as the Spirit of God has prompted you about things that he wants you to do? Now, folks, these are not nice ideas. This should be happening every day. This really should be happening every day if we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is as alive today as he has ever been. And remember the whole theme of 1 John. John said, I've seen him, I've touched him, but we can have fellowship with the resurrected Christ now. He's alive. And he was more thrilled than he was when he was with the Savior, that he could have fellowship with the overcoming Savior and that he was able to work in his life. Who is Jesus to you? How much does he mean to you? How much is he doing in you and through you? Verse 5 again, who is he that overcometh the world? Who's the one that doesn't let the world affect him? Who is the one that is able to reach people that are in the world? It's the one that truly depends upon, believes, puts their trust in, receives Jesus, and that he is the Son of God. A worldly Christian is not focused on Jesus Christ. Just the way it is. You cannot be in love with the Holy Son of God and in love with the world that Satan controls. If you really believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and he's real to you, the world will be overcome in your heart, and you'll be able to have power to reach the world. It really grieves me today at how the world has overcome believers, which tells me they may know the gospel and may be truly saved, but Jesus is not the one they trust in their life. Who is Jesus to you? Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord, the simple question tonight and this short message. But folks, it does matter. It really matters if we're really trusting him. If he is our Redeemer, if he is our Savior. Yes, for salvation, absolutely. But if you are saved, how much of a difference is he making? How much do we really know him? Do we really believe him and trust him? Folks, he answers prayer. He is constantly making intercession for us. He is our high priest, and we can come boldly to him to find grace. Every day is a day on the pathway of fellowship with Jesus, and the Almighty Son of God will do a mighty divine work in us if we will trust him. We are never alone. We are never helpless. We personally are helpless, but we're never helpless because we have him. He walks every path with us. He has given us the Spirit who indwells us. It's one of the most glorious things in the world to have a relationship with the Son of God. And what a witness we have in the Word of God. He is who he said he was. And what a joy it is when that's proven in our own heart. But you'd say, Pastor, I'm a believer here tonight. I know the Lord is Savior. But when you simply ask the question, who is Jesus to me? I realize maybe you haven't even talked to him today. Prayed some, but really understood you were talking to the Savior. Maybe you've allowed yourself to feel very hopeless or overwhelmed. Or maybe the world has made some encroachment in your life. And you'd say tonight, Pastor, I just need to get back, just like I believe him for my salvation. I need to believe him that I can be an overcomer because he is the ultimate overcomer. He has all power. And I want to believe that with all my heart and live that way. So with heads bowed, you'd say, Pastor, God touched my heart in this short message here tonight. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to just have it grip my soul. What a Savior I have. If the Lord touched your heart that way, would you slip your hand up and we'll certainly pray for you here tonight. God bless you. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and the pathway of being an overcomer hasn't been started because you never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've looked to religion and rituals and never trusted personally in Christ. How real is he to you? If you're truly saved, you know you have eternal life. You know you have an eternal relationship. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you say, my heart is burdened. I need to know him as my overcoming Savior. I want to get that settled. Would you pray for me? With head still bowed, would you just slip your hand up? It'd be wonderful to pray for you here this evening, anyone like that. Lord, work in hearts. I do thank you for these that have indicated the need. Lord, during this Christmas season, would you indeed manifest yourself to us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Would the Word of God be precious to us? And Lord, would we understand what a difference it makes? We are overcomers when we're trusting you. Now, Lord, would you bless now in Jesus' name? Amen.